Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Sometimes we humans are such a visually oriented species, we forget that not everyone, and perhaps most of the rest of the world, doesn't perceive the world the same way we do. We assume that our dogs and cats see things exactly the way we do. We do admit that they have a more highly developed sense of smell than we do, but we don't take much time to consider how this might affect our interactions with them. Some recent studies on the nature of sniffing and the nature of olfaction in rats have revealed much about this process in animals, but it also shows how very similar it is to the approach we take to seeing things in our human lives. For example, when rats are coming to grips with a new odor, they take longer and deeper breaths. Not unlike the way you or I would take a much longer and more careful look at something that was new to us than we would to something that's more familiar. Also, some odors are more easily absorbed than others. And so it is with us. There's an old saying that a good observer is someone who doesn't see what should be there when it isn't, and who does see what shouldn't be there when it is. Think about that. That's hard to do. That requires concentration. You've heard the other old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. The more we see the same things, the more we expect them to be there. Our brain just sort of zeroes them out, and if they're really not there, our brain puts them in. But animals tend to be a little bit more involved in their surroundings, because often their life depends on it. But even so, on some level, we share the same type of learning process. We pay more attention to the novel, and we tend to disregard the familiar. Unless, of course, we're seeking comfort, then we really like the familiar better. If we're trying to escape something, we prefer the novel. But even though we are a more visually oriented species compared to other mammals, one place where it appears that scent holds the edge is in the formation and the recollection of memories. This possibly could be because events we consider memorable in our lives stimulate the more primitive parts of our brains, the parts that we share with other mammalian species, and maybe all species, for all I know. And so the mere scent of something is enough to elicit memories. As I record this, my peonies are blooming. And I cut some yesterday, and I have them in a vase on my kitchen table. When I came down this morning, before I even turned on the light, I could smell those peonies. And as soon as I did, I had memories. I had good memories, I had bad memories. I remembered my father's funeral, but I also remembered that the wife of a friend of mine raises peonies professionally. And I also remembered all of the times when I've done work outside while my peony bush was blooming. Sometimes it seemed to me that over the years that wittingly or unwittingly, members of the human species have selectively bred plants so they would bloom at times to support us when we were the busiest. And so early in the springtime, when the pace is almost frantic because there's so much to do and not enough time, the lavender blooms. The lavender with its proven calming effect. And I appreciate that. Just as I appreciate the scent of the peonies now and the daisies that are telling me, buck up, you're almost done, keep moving. So I depend on my sense of smell that way. And I can understand why, for as much of a visually oriented species we are, that people who lose their sense of smell often suffer more than those who lose their vision. They say a look is worth a thousand words. But sometimes a sniff can be worth a thousand words and a thousand memories too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.